Good evening. Welcome to the February 5th, 2019 Planning Commission regular session. Hereby convene the session and we'll take attendance. Chair Quigla is here. Vice Chair?
Present.
Commissioner Bowes?
Here.
Commissioner Landon?
Here.
Commissioner Bergen?
Here.
Commissioner Gill?
Here.
And Commissioner McGinley?
Present.
Right. If we'd all rise, please, I'll ask Vice Chair Sherwood to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First of all, do we have any adjustments to the regular session agenda? Hearing none. Do we have business from the audience? We would like to limit testimony to 3 minutes only, and any testimony may not discuss or otherwise address the public hearing that's on for the regular session. Hearing no business from the audience, we'll carry on into our public hearing. It is a quasi-judicial public hearing, a request for a metro plan diagram amendment and zone change for 2.78 acres of property at 377 and 385 Deadman Ferry Road and 3535 Game Farm Road, cases 811-18234 TYP4 and 811-18-235 TYP3. First of all, we'd like to have the city attorney discuss with us the conduct of the quasi-judicial public hearing.
Thank you, Chair. The hearing tonight is characterized as a de novo quasi-judicial hearing. De novo means that any issue, procedural or substantive, can be raised that's relevant to the approval criteria. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be based. Please pay attention to the following information. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing or in front of the City Council, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the Oregon Land Court of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support the issue with statements or evidence that is sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission and Council has an opportunity to respond to the concern or issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or seek damages in Circuit Court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues related to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the City Council and Planning Commission to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in Circuit Court. The application before the Planning Commission tonight is a proposal for Metro Plan Diagram Amendment and Springfield Zoning Map Amendment. The criteria for a Metro Plan Diagram Amendment are found in Springfield Development Code Section 5.14-135. The criteria are that the amendment must be consistent with applicable statewide planning goals. Where the metro plan applies, adoption of the amendment cannot make the metro plan internally inconsistent. And where the Springfield Comprehensive Plan applies, the amendment must be consistent with the Springfield Comprehensive Plan. The criteria for the Springfield Zoning Map Amendment are found in Springfield Development Code Section 5.22-115, and they are that the amendment must be consistent with the applicable metro plan policies and metro plan diagram. The amendment must be consistent with applicable refinement plans, plan district maps, conceptual development plans, and functional plans. The property must be presently provided with adequate public facilities, services, and transportation networks to support the use, or they must be provided concurrently with the development of the property. The zoning map amendment that involves the metro plan diagram amendment must meet the criteria of approval for a metro plan amendment specified in Section 5.14-100 that I previously listed, and a zoning map amendment must comply with Oregon Administrative Rule 660-012-0060, which is known as the Transportation Planning Rule. These criteria are also posted on the wall behind the Planning Commission, and they are outlined in the staff report and will be summarized by staff in their presentation. When you are submitting testimony this evening, if you want an item entered into the record, please present that item to the planning secretary orally or in writing. If there's any question in your mind whether any materials in the record, make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. Under Oregon law, any person has the right to request the record be held open for 7 days for the submittal of additional written testimony. You do not have to give a reason for this request, but you must make the request before the hearing is closed. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing, but a continuance is discretionary with the City Council. A party requesting a continuance must show prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. The hearing is recorded on tape, so please follow the following procedures. First, testify from the podium on my left and not from the citizen's seat. Second, begin by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the Planning Secretary and Commission to identify testimony offered by each speaker and assists in creating a transcript if necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. The Planning Commission will issue a recommendation to the City Council, who will hold another public hearing. The City Council's decision will be final, and any person who appeared in this matter can appeal that decision to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline and form of appeals. This hearing is quasi-judicial, and Oregon land use law requires that the Planning Commission disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest and allow any person to challenge the Planning Commission for bias. A conflict of interest is a situation in which the decision maker, his or her family, and their business would benefit or suffer by the decision maker's decision, and an ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Bias is an actual personal interest in the outcome of the decision or a prejudgment by the decision maker as to the outcome without regard to evidence and argument submitted to the decision maker. Chair, it's now appropriate to open the hearing and declare any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest.
I hereby open the public hearing and would ask the commissioners to declare any conflict of interest or bias.
No conflict.
I have none at the moment, but I do want the record to show that I am a realtor in the area and have no evidence of potential future conflict.
Thank you. At this point, it is, we will go to staff, Andy Limbert, to do the staff presentation.
Done that first. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm just going to provide an overview of the location of this proposal. Commissioners will be familiar with the area. There was a recent Metro Plan Amendment zone change just literally 2 months ago in this vicinity. And it's located in North Springfield in the Gateway area. This site is at the intersection of Devon Ferry Road and Game Farm Road, and it comprises three adjoining tax lots. Currently, there are three existing single-family homes on the property. The proposal is to change the metro plan designation of the property identified on this map from low-density residential to high-density residential. Concurrently with this action, the Gateway Refinement Plan diagram would be amended to change the designation from low-density residential to high-density residential. This is being requested to facilitate construction of an assisted living facility on the site. Staff does note that the property immediately to the south has been developed with a memory care facility. The property adjoining this site to the east is the Peace Health Birth Center, so it does not directly abut existing residential dwellings at this point. There are residences across Game Farm Road, however, to the west. The current zoning of low-density residential is identified on the extract here from the city zoning map, and the proposed zoning is for high-density residential. So staff has reviewed the application and supporting information, and we have kind of an unusual request of the commission. There are some information gaps that have been identified through staff review. These include the transportation analysis that was prepared and submitted by the applicant is based on the projected use of assisted living facility. which did not identify impacts to the transportation system. However, staff and the approving authority are obligated to look at what might be considered the reasonable worst-case scenario should this property be redesignated and rezoned high-density residential. That opens up the opportunity for any type of housing form that would be allowable, including high-rise apartments. Should the property not develop as assisted living and instead be developed with what could be up to almost 120 apartments, the impact could be measurable and potentially significant to the area transportation system, particularly in proximity to the Gateway Beltline interchange, the intersection of Bean Farm Road and Beltline Road, the signals and that sort of thing. So staff has identified the need for the applicant to prepare and submit additional supplemental material to evaluate potential transportation impacts. If impacts are determined to exist, mitigation measures may be required. At this point, it's uncertain as to what those impacts might be. To provide the applicant sufficient time to prepare this supplemental study, staff did advise the applicant previously, a couple weeks ago, there is a lead time associated with preparing this type of information. It wasn't available in time for this packet, and therefore staff is recommending that the public hearing and the written record be extended and continued to a future date. If it's date certain, if the commission so chooses, it would be the February 20th meeting, which is the next regular scheduled meeting of the commission. The intent is to allow for the full range of information to be provided and available for commissioners to deliberate to prepare their recommendation. What you'll see in your packet is that staff has included a final order recommendation of denial. Should the commission proceed with issuing a recommendation to the city council, if it's determined that it should be concluded this evening, staff feels that there isn't sufficient information to support the proposal, and therefore the recommendation would be for denial. Either way, the matter would advance to the city council. Staff's suggestion is that it would be beneficial both to the city overall and the applicant in particular for them to be provided an opportunity to have this information before you. So that's the recommended action to this before you. Another kind of anomaly that staff discovered when we were looking at the application is that currently, as you can see in this diagram, there's a layer of low-density residential that exists between the memory care facility site to the south and these properties to the north. There was a property line adjustment that was done when the memory care facility was developed, and it adjusted the boundary of the property but not the zoning boundary. So there is a strip of low-density residential that exists and was contiguous with other low-density residential to the north, so it wasn't an issue. With this proposed redesignation and rezoning, staff recommends strongly that this variable width strip is brought into conformity with the zoning and designation to the south, the medium density residential zoning. So there isn't an intervening low density residential piece, not only from a housekeeping standpoint, but it also encumbers and constrains development on the high density residential piece, ironically, because of required setbacks and screening and separation and building height limitations for low density residential zoning, irrespective of whether it's actually developed with houses. So certainly it would be in the applicant's interest to do that. They have been advised of it and they are supportive of this. Staff has requested that they prepare and submit revised drawings and to capture this strip of land, which is also owned by the applicant, so it's not an onerous task. It doesn't involve a third party at this point. So that is the other recommendation of staff, is to incorporate the area outlined in the dotted line to be redesignated and rezoned to MDR, so there is an intervening strip. So that summarizes staff's presentation this evening. The recommendation before you is to continue the public hearing to at least the February 20th regular session, to keep the written record open as well so that any materials, both the applicant's submittal and any staff analysis, can be provided and entered into the record, and that the Planning Commission can reconvene, accept all the testimony, and hopefully have all the information available to prepare a recommendation to advance to the City Council. At this point, the City Council public hearing is tentatively scheduled for March 18th, so there's ample opportunity for conclusion of the Planning Commission involvement, and hopefully a supportive recommendation that can be advanced to the City Council. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and the applicants here, I know that they'll be providing some information as well. So.
Question from Commissioner Lowes.
Do you have actual assurance that the additional information would be available by February the 20th?
I'll have to have the applicant confirm this, but my understanding from discussions at the end of last week is that the information had been requested of their project engineer, and they fully anticipated that that information for transportation analysis would be available or submittal prior to that date.
Thank you. Other questions? I have one. It's also my understanding that there is a question as to the capacity of the wastewater system and the wastewater pump station in the area. Will that information be addressed during the site plan review or at some other time?
Yes, that was another issue that did come up during staff review, and it was contemplated to be a condition of the plan designation, redesignation, and rezoning. However, local utility capacity for the city's sanitary system is not the same magnitude as what is regional transportation issues that affect not only the Springfield network, but also ODOT facilities, Eugene, and the rest of the state. So the city is obligated through the transportation planning rule to look at transportation impacts and make sure that those have been fully addressed. Other localized impacts can be deferred. So the applicant is aware of the need to have a sanitary sewer analysis. This site is right across the street to the south from an existing pump station that accepts the sanitary discharge from that whole area. And so upzoning and intensifying the use on this site could potentially have an impact to that facility. And it also will inform future actions to upgrade both the pump station facility as well as any of the lines that connect to that as well. So it's for the applicant's benefit and ultimately, I guess, the city's benefit to determine where things are sit right now and if there are going to be threshold levels that will be met at various points in the development around this area. So.
Thank you. Any further questions? None, thank you. And we are ready for the testimony of the applicant.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, my name is Rick Satry. I'm with Shermer Satry Group. We're land use planners, landscape architects, and environmental consultants. Our office is at 375 West 4th Avenue in Eugene in the wonderful Whitaker neighborhood. On behalf of the applicant, I'd like to pass along that the applicant does concur with the findings in the staff report for both the Metro Plan Amendment and the Zoning Map Amendment. The applicant also is in agreement with the two recommended conditions of approval. As staff indicated, that those two items came to light rather far into the process of evaluating and scheduling this hearing, evaluating the applications and scheduling this hearing. It was about 3 weeks ago that we were notified of the need to conduct a traffic study. And it was also brought to the applicant's attention that although these two applications before you are focused on the three tax lots that are highlighted in the orange called Site, that on the abutting tax lot to the south, that as staff pointed out, there is a remnant narrow strip of low-density residential zoning. That's not on these subject tax lots, but as staff said, it is on that abutting tax lot. The abutting tax lot is owned by the same part, by the applicant. The applicant's looking at this as a two-phase project. The memory care facility, which was constructed and opened a year or two ago, and now the assisted living facility to the north on those three tax lots. So the applicant has authorized its consultant team to amend the legal descriptions and the maps for both the metro plan amendment and the zoning map amendment to include that strip that is well underway. And the applicant also authorized its consultant team to conduct the traffic study, and that is also well underway. In consultations with staff, as Andy said, over the last week, we looked at various things about rescheduling the hearing from tonight to some other later date, but it's already scheduled, notice was sent out, and so the strategy here is those two supplemental informational items are well underway. There just wasn't enough time from when we discovered the need to tonight. Commissioner Vose, as you asked, if we know the next meet, what, if you choose to hold the record open for 15 days to your next regularly scheduled meeting on the 20th, the applicant knows full well that that's basically a deadline to have this supplemental information to staff in advance so that staff can evaluate it, that you would have it before you in advance of that meeting. So it's well underway and prepared to have that information to staff and before you in time for the February 20th meeting. I do want to thank staff for discovering those two items and their flexibility in working with the applicant with this keeping the record open for 15 days if you choose to do so. That I'm available for any questions that any of you may have.
Questions?
Mr. Lynn. It's more technical than anything else, but I know it comes up when offers to move to continue the public hearing until the 20th. I'm assuming that that would be the more direct option.
And to keep the record open.
So when you leave the public hearing open, if you continue the public hearing to another date, the record is automatically left open.
Okay, so,
this
is then, it would be sufficient for this?
Yeah, if you continue the public hearing, then that allows the applicant to provide more evidence and it allows the public to weigh in on that additional evidence.
Thank you.
Any questions? Hearing none.
Thank you.
No reason for an additional report from staff or a rebuttal from the applicant. So at this point, I guess I would entertain a motion.
I'll ask one question of staff.
Sure.
I take it, since you haven't mentioned it, there isn't any concern about running into the deadline for action on this matter?
No, in fact, due to the nature of this application, there is no specific time frame. We're not under it's not a limited land use decision, which is a 120-day time frame. So it's really to the, I guess, the city can take as long as necessary to make its decision, and we're affording the applicant the opportunity to ensure that it's as successful as possible under the circumstances. So. Staff had automatically provided a decent window between the first public hearing, which is tonight, which was planned, and then the next anticipated public hearing before the City Council. Any less than a month, there's always a potential that someone, a third party, could request that the record is held open and the Planning Commission reconvene on additional evidence. So in this case, it was the applicant and staff that are recommending that it's open. So it's not to constrain the time frame so much that you have to prolong. along with city council participation.
Thank you.
Entertain a motion.
I would like to continue the public hearing until the next Planning Commission meeting on February 2019.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimously decided. At this point, do we have a report of council action?
So at the work session, there were two lines of discussion. One was a review of proposed downtown site code changes, updates, and there was some pretty good discussion. So staff heard some suggestions and we'll be coming back to city council with that. And then the next topic was about the housing diversity tax exemption, and there is interest of city council to do a tax exemption for the market rate housing, and they they're going to hear about it again, so they had some suggestions about some parameters around that, but that there is general consensus that they do want to have that in place, so working out the details.
Being a not real estate kind of guy, what is market rate housing aside from the implication that it's what the market will bear?
So it's not low income, it's not
well, I think to answer your question, everybody would have a different definition of that, of what market rate is. In fact, that was going to be my question as to what city council's definition of market rate is. Does that mean the median or the median housing price right now? If you're saying it's not the low income housing, I too would love more information, being the real estate professional that I am. I'd like to know what the definition of that specifically is in their mind.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So I could probably elaborate a little bit. So under Oregon revised statutes, there are a number of tax exemptions allowed. Some of them you would apply individually to the tax assessor, and then others the local jurisdiction must make those available. So this is for multiple units, so you have to have four or more units. And we're saying market rate in contrast to subsidized housing, because earlier this year, actually last year, the city council did approve a low income rental property tax exemption. And so the Myrtlewood is the first project that took advantage of that tax exemption. So this one that the council is now considering is for would not be subsidized, so market rate meaning not subsidized in terms of having to maintain an affordability period over a long term. But the income level and the rent level is totally up to the developer. They would, if the council puts this in place, each application for the type of development would come to council for their approval.
The Myrtlewood, that's the one at like 15th and Main Street.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Developed by St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah. I knew the building, I just didn't know its diagram. Any other?
And then at the meeting, they appointed our chair for the next term on the Planning Commission and three folks for the library board, and there were three public comments. But the big thing next week during the work session, they'll be talking about the brochure that's going out for the city manager position, and having discussion around that. So that might be of interest to folks.
Any other council attendance?
So
So I have a report from about a month ago, the 7th. So during the work session, there was a presentation from a consultant that the Library Foundation hired on a library feasibility study. There's some more information about that on a really big printed out piece of the paper that's mounted to both of the library entrances. She presented an executive report and a one-page case for support and presented information from interviews with stakeholders. There was a lot of talk about the library outgrowing its current space, and then the counselors were talking about whether or not there was a need for a new library or expanded services, so I'm sure that discussion will continue. At the end of March, there will be a wider community survey and talk about how to raise money for it. And then during the regular session, there was a library program award. So there was a program for Springfield Public School students, I believe, that live outside of the city limits, but inside the urban growth boundary, they were able to get free library cards. So the Springfield Library was recognized nationally for that work, so that was great to see. Then a couple items that we saw before that, which was the other rezone in the gateway area from low density residential to medium density residential, and then the wireless facilities in the right of way. And then there were a few public testimonies on a couple of, I know it's not mobile home. What is the correction on this? Manufactured home, thank you. On manufactured homes, like owners selling the property and then like wondering what rights they had. So Mayor Lundberg was talking with those community members, and I just jotted down a note to look into what specific rights there are, because that is something that there's a fair amount of in Springfield. So would love for staff to let us know a little bit more about that one day in our work sessions. And then, like, the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life, Counselor Mo proposed to his now fiance. Like, I was, like, so not expecting that with the wireless facilities. It was, like, the most romantic city council has ever been. That was amazing. It was so cute. She said yes. That's all.
You got some media attention, too.
Business from the Planning Commission. First of all, we'll go ahead and discuss the chair, vice chair, and committee assignments. I would be happy to serve as chair for 2019, and would be honored to have your support.
You have one endorsement.
So moved.
I move to reappoint Commissioner Cuebla as chair of the Planning Commission for 2019.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
The next thing would be appointment of the vice chair.
Ditto. I would like to continue to be your vice chair for 2019. It's been great to try it out for a few months, and I'd like to keep that going.
I move to approve Troy Sherwood as the vice chair for the calendar year 2019.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Vose and second by myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. We also have a number of committee assignments. First of all, should be noted that our governance committee was appointed in 2019, so we expect our governance committee for the code update to remain the same for 2019. There was a list of our appointments, but unfortunately I don't have that with me. They are,
thank you.
First of all, the council liaison, Sophie McGinn, is currently Sophie McGinn. Would you?
Yeah, I would be happy to continue doing that and just acting as your liaison to the city council.
Other interests. Okay, I move that we reappoint Sophie McGinley as our council liaison.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Commissioner McGinley will continue as our council liaison. There is a position as the BPAC, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee liaison, currently held by Commissioner Landon.
If folks are happy, I'd be pleased to continue that.
Any other interest?
I move to reappoint Commissioner Landon as our 2019 liaison to the BPAC committee.
Second.
Proposed by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner McGinley. All in favor?
Aye.
And finally, we have our position for the committee, Community Development Advisory Committee liaison, currently held by Commissioner Volus.
Yeah, I would like to continue as well. I will give advance notice that my term will end at the end of next year, so at some point, it would need to be addressed to appoint a new member at that time, if anyone is willing. The seat on the CTAC has always had an opening for a planning commissioner, but there has not always been a planning commissioner on that, filling that seat. So the option is there if no one's interested to leave it vacant, but otherwise, at the end of next year, there will be, I will be leaving that committee.
So your term currently ends?
My term on the CTAC would end at the end of next year, 2020.
Oh. Other interests? Do we have a motion?
What's the position? How do we end?
Community Development Advisory Committee.
Move that Commissioner Bosby reappointed to his
CDAC.
CDAC committee as a representative by the commission.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Landon, seconded by myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thus is the end of the chair, vice chair, and committee assignments. Another item, business from the planning committee, made this handout. Attended this film and panel discussion for a movie called Tony, which is about a guy who lives in San Diego and his experiences in being homeless. It also was very informative in that it also presented many cities' attempts, differing attempts to address the homeless situation. Of course, San Diego, Seattle, Houston, there are a lot of different approaches. This discusses pretty much all of them and their various success. There's only two more showings of it, February 11th and February 15th. They're both at odd times of the day, 11 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. But I thought I'd bring it forward in case anyone was interested. I found it very informative.
Do you have any idea, is there anyone that would be able to discuss the contents of the movie after it's over, or is it?
Yeah, there is a panel discussion by the Eugene Human Rights Commission. The one thing that I found interesting is that even though it is the Eugene Human Rights Commission, they did discuss the Lane County homeless study extensively, but they didn't seem to know about the city of Springfield's efforts in addressing homelessness. So I told them that they should probably try to get in touch with the city manager's office and look at some of the things that we're attempting here. Any business from the Development and Public Works Department?
I don't think I've ever shared with you, and so maybe you are aware or maybe not, but our department is currently undergoing a potential reorganization. So given that Annette Spickard had left to take a job in Idaho a year ago, Tom Boyette has been serving as the interim director for Development and Public Works, and after two recruitments, the city manager decided that the job is really too big or not being advertised as it really needs to be to cover the full span and breadth of what that job is. And so requested that our human resources director facilitate reorganization of our department. So I just thought that that might be of interest to you. What's exciting for me this week is that we had a new planner start. Her name is Monica Sather. She actually was on staff with the city 3 summers working in the maintenance crew, which is now operations, and then did an internship with Linda Pauly and worked on some downtown issues at that time. She's then worked on other capacities in our area and has come back to what she says is her dream job, to be able to work here as a comprehensive planning senior planner. And so she will basically be taking on some of the work that Linda Pauly had done. So she'll come to you at some point.
Questions?
Well, I just think it's rather interesting to hear about the reorganization, since it hasn't been that many years ago that there was a reorganization that pulled more responsibility into the hands of the director. So now it sounds like we're going back the other direction again?
Potentially.
One question and then a comment. This new planner, is there a family history of service to the city of Springfield with that last name?
So actually her father works for Public Works.
Her name's Witzig.
Yeah, but what's his first name?
Glenn.
Glenn Witzig is her father. But the name that you are thinking about is her uncle.
Former chief inspector for City of Springfield, Ron Sather.
Yes.
Great. And then the comment was, having worked in municipal government before.
I'm saying it's our uncle, there's some relation.
There's some relation. Yes.
I'm not sure exactly.
It's probably a relation by marriage now.
Right.
By marriage.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not her husband's father.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's some other relation.
But then the comment I was going to make is, having worked in municipal government before, I've really admired the way Springfield has melded public works, maintenance, and planning together. And I think that I worked in areas where, and I think it used to be this way in Springfield too in the past, where planners and engineers did not work well together, nor did maintenance workers, planners and engineers work well together. And I think the combination of them in the city of Springfield has been a really wise decision. And I hope that the camaraderie and the goals that have been accomplished through that combination of the workforces, however the reorg goes, that continues on, because I think it's a very admirable, initial reorg, I think, was very admirable in its results. Other questions, comments? At this point, I suppose we can adjourn. Thank you.
We all know the dates come and they not very told. Usually. We have to do that day, I likely
would. That's good though that you didn't know about it enough. Somebody else can argue that it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I could have Gregor run home and get it.
No. Let's not worry about that. Gregor, give him my cell phone number. You can't worry about one thing. You say it like that, it's a little freaky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for 30 years.
Yeah.
And are you still feeling better?
Yeah.
Feeling good?
Yeah. But so my wife said, I'm going to get tired again. Brother, you know, from like the first trimester. I was like, probably not.
Yeah, if you do, you just take a day off and rest.
Yeah, I know, that's the beauty of my job.
Yeah.
So I can work from home, but our local real estate association led our staff person, only one staff person. I'm the most knowledgeable of every day-to-day operation.
I almost thought about.
So you need to download to somebody.
Well, I mean, we could have done like.
Yeah, we're in the midst of hiring right now. You know, the interview process is a joy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Happy to.
Just, yeah, you can use more.
My cell phone and stuff, so.